Good morning. Today's passage is taken from Psalm 128. I will be reading from the New Living Translation. How happy are those who fear the Lord, all who follow His ways. You will enjoy the fruit of your labor. How happy you will be. How rich your life. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine, flourishing within your home. And look at all those children. There they sit around your table, as vigorous and healthy as young olive trees. That is the Lord's reward for those who fear Him. May the Lord continually bless you from Zion. May you see Jerusalem prosper as long as you live. May you live to enjoy your grandchildren, and may Israel have quietness and peace. This is the word of the Lord.
Morning, everybody. We have been looking at the Psalms of Ascents for the last almost half a year now. And so we started from Psalms 120. If I ask you what the theme of Psalms 120, you probably don't remember. It doesn't matter. I will do a sum up one day. So from Psalms 120, we move on to 121, and then all the way to, we are 128 now. So the Israelites, the Jewish people, they sing these hymns when they go to Jerusalem. So these 15 psalms also represents the spiritual growth of a Christian. So as they march towards the holy city, so they sing from 120 to 128. It also signifies how our personal spiritual life is like. So today we're going to talk about a happy life, a happy family, a happy country. And every year I look at the index of happiness. You know that there's a world index of happiness. Anyone who have interest in looking at that? No, you don't care about happiness? Okay, all right. So every year I look at the index. There's actually an index of world happiness. And okay, you turn this on first, right? Okay. Okay. So in 2019, Canada is rated number 9. It's not bad, right? In terms of happiness. The number one is the most happy, not the least happier country. So. So in 2009, well, we're not over yet. So when wait until the gas price goes up more, so we probably keep going down. So we are number 9, which is not too bad. But if you look at the previous one, actually, last time we did this, we were number 5, and then we are dropping. So something is we have to. Well, I don't know the reason. So this index of happiness is based on a combination of different factors, not just wealth, environment, political stability, safety. So in 2015, we are number fifth in the world in terms of happiness. So we keep dropping. And I also look at China. Well, some of us are from China. I'm not from China, but I look at China. And Taiwan is number 25. It's not bad, right? And look at China, it's 93. And also China is dropping. So someone wrote a really interesting comment that China is getting more and more wealthy, but they're getting less and less happy. Number 93, so they're just a little bit better than, they're not as good as Indonesia. So Sam, okay, let's pass them. So they wrote a little comment in that article saying that wealth is not the only factor that brings happiness. So today we're going to look at happiness, how to be a happy, a blessed family, a blessed person. So very often, pastors like to preach this Psalms 128 on Father's Day, Mother's Day, Family Day, busy day is coming, on family days, because here it portrays a blessed, some English translation translate the word blessed, a happy family. But if you look at our country, Canada, we may be ranked really high on top there. That's one of the reasons that we are so wealthy, because we have all these natural resources. You know, we have oil, gold, copper, diamond, potash. We have almost everything. That's why we are so wealthy. But if you look at the divorce rate of the world, you notice that it's going up from 1960, it's 12%, to 2017, 44% is the average divorce rate in the world. So families are breaking apart. And where do we stand? Canada. Okay, that's the last one on that list there. So we are ranked really high as well. So just like our happiness, we're on the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's the highest divorce rate of 38%. In the world. So our families are not doing the right thing. We're breaking apart. And Psalms 128 portrays to us a happy family. How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you shall eat, talking about the father here, eat the fruit of your hands, you will be happy. And it will be well with you. So he's talking about a happy family. And a happy family starts with everyone who fears the Lord. Everyone in the family fears the Lord, who walks in his way. And you shall eat the fruit of your hands. This is the beginning of happiness. He is telling us, portraying to us a father, the head of the family, who is a man who feared the Lord. Not just the father here, it's everyone. He is talking about everyone fears the Lord and walks in God's way. But specifically, and when we look at this, the Psalms or any Old Testament, we have to look at it in its context. So in the older days, in those days, a good father is one who works hard, provides the family. And here he portrays this father. He works hard with his own hands. He's probably healthy to be able to work. He works in a farm, and there's a good harvest, so that God bless them, and they could eat the fruit of his hands. And he aligns with God. He walks in his ways. He walks in God's will. He's a godly man. He provides the needs of the family. This is a psalm, so we cannot describe all the qualities of a father. We'll save that for the Father's Day sermon. But he only mentioned one thing here. He works hard. He looks after the family. And God bless him that he works with his own hands. Give him good health. And he provides the family. This is a blessed family. The father works. Well, today, you need to be more than that to be a good father. You need to take your kids to Disneyland, vacation, buy them good clothes and send them to a good university. So today is different, but in those days, it's a really simple life. A father provides the family and he works hard. And the Psalms goes on to talk about the wife. The wife shall be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children like olive plants around your table. The husband works hard, provides the family, and the wife stays inside the house. Now, okay, again, we have to understand this in the context of the culture in those days. In those days, the wife do not go out, doesn't go out and work. So they stay inside the home, the house, to look after the family. And a good wife, a faithful wife, is the one who stays inside the house. And again, this is the context of the culture. So here describing that this wife is a faithful wife. She stays within the house. And as a fruitful wife, this could mean that she bears many children, and she has spiritual qualities, but she's a faithful wife. And here the scripture use why to represent the wife, not a cedar tree or a fig tree. Those are strong, tall. But here the scripture use why. Why in the Old Testament represents stability, wealth, peace. So when Moses sent the scouts to Canaan to bring back the vines, to show that this is a place that's of milk and honey. And a wine also is gentle, soft. The wine to rely on a structure, a frame. So the wine leans on the husband for his support. So the wife is a support for the husband. He bears the fruit and is a spiritual support of the family. And the Psalms describe happiness here as a very simple, a very down-to-earth, everyday life. It talks about a man who provides the physical needs of the family. It talks about a wife who bears children, provides the other needs of the family. And then talk about children. So it's a very simple family. Today we are more complicated. But we have to, again, as I said, look at the Psalms in its context. And the psalmist use very simple things that people can understand. It's a husband, a wife, a loss of children. Bless the family. It's a blessed family because they fear the Lord. Everyone fears the Lord and walk in God's way. And then the psalmist move on to say, your children like olive plants. And olive is, in the Old Testament, I mean, even in today, is a healthy, it's a good thing. Olive is, in the Old Testament time, not only the olive oil is good today, we know that. It's good to lower, there are many benefits here. To lower cholesterol, it's a medicine, it's good for health. And also, they use it for when they are anointing kings, they use the olive oil. Also represent peace. And olive, it takes a long time to grow olive trees. So here's a family that's greatly blessed by God, a happy, happy family. A very simple family to our today's standard. But it is a psalm, so they cannot go on and describe all the qualities. But here they pick out, the psalmist pick out that husband works hard to provide the physical needs of the family. And the wife supports the family, supports the husband. And the children, they sit around the table. Even today, I think we all treasure parents that dinner time that we can eat with our children. So even today, that too haven't changed. We always look forward to the dinner time. We don't eat lunch together. But in dinner, even today, we all treasure if we are parents that you can eat in the table with your children. We can pray together, give grace together, and then we can talk together. So it is the same thousands of years ago. He has a family, quickly blessed by God. And this blessing not only stays in this family. The psalmist go on to say, behold, what thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord? So verse 4, it's like a closure of an essay, of a thesis. Verse 1 talk about the fear of the Lord. Number four, sort of an ending. Again, the psalmist mentioned, "Behold, for thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord." Like a little pause ending, and then he moved on. "The Lord bless you from Zion, and may you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Indeed, may you see your children's children, your grandchildren. Peace be upon Israel." This blessing that comes from the Lord not only stops within the family, it moves on from children to children, to the grandchildren, to the future generation. And this prosperity goes beyond this blessed family. It goes to the city, Jerusalem. And not only Jerusalem, it goes on to the whole country, Israel. The blessings started maybe from the parents because they fear the Lord. And the children will be influenced. So that's how important we are to bring up our children in God's words. It's good to send them to learn many things, violin, ballet, judo, karate, kung fu. These are some of the things that the parents have been telling me. They have no time for our wonder. They have to take up kung fu, karate, many things today. But it is important for us to bring up our children in God's words so that they can walk in God's way to fear the Lord. A church consists of individuals and many families. If the families are broken, even for Christians, the church cannot be whole. The blessings come from the family. A family who fear the Lord, the children who fear the Lord, then the church consists of the families. Individuals will be blessed. When the church is blessed, our city, our neighborhood, our area, the people, the neighbors will be blessed. And this blessing will go beyond our city, Jerusalem here, to the whole country. So this is a beautiful and so meaningful, good reminder of all of us. God's blessing starts from us, and it could go way beyond the four walls or your family, of our church, beyond the land of our city. And these blessings starts from what? Verse 1 and verse 4. Really clearly stated that right from verse 1, this blessing comes from the fear of the Lord. We don't like to talk about the fear today in the church because it gives us a negative sense. There's two kinds of fear. Man's fear. So this past Tuesday at Alpha, and we watched a video, and after that, the first question we discussed is to share our fears, because that was one of the topics in the video. And different people have different fears. Most people fear spiders, all kinds of insects. I wrote this down. One brother mentioned the fear of height, rats, balloons. So that really puzzled me. But anyway, so make sure that you don't give this person a balloon Christmas on birthday parties. So different people have different fears. We may have other fears. Fear that about our job, we may lose our job. Fear of exams, studies. Fear of our teacher. Fear of people, our boss. Fear of sickness. Relationship broken. After I came back from my trip last year, I was sick. And then I lost 10 pounds. For a fair long time. And so anybody will do the Google, you know, when you lose 10 pounds, what could happen, right? One of the things is that you could have cancer if there's no reason. I wasn't trying to gain weight, so I eat a lot, trying to see if I can make up the 10 pounds. But somehow I could not make up the 10 pounds. I keep losing the 10 pounds. I never lost 10 pounds. So I asked the doctor and said, okay, that is a bit unusual. So they sent me to do all kinds of tests. And I was really scared. And I could not gain an ounce. So when I told, especially the sisters, that no matter how much I eat, I cannot gain any weight. And then she looked at me with this great admiration. I wish I can say that. But I was scared and worried. Later on, it turned out to be okay. There's all kind of fear. Man has fears. But here, fear the Lord is not this kind of fear. This is a good kind of fear. The fear of the Lord. Psalms 22, 23. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him. All your descendants of Israel. This fear of the Lord is not the kind of man's fear about spiders, but it is when we stand in front of the Almighty God, the all-powerful, all-knowing God, that we tremble, we bow before him. Like Moses, when he faced God, he was afraid to look at God, and he had to bow before him. So when we have to meet, I'm trying to find some examples, but it's hard to find an example, illustration. I only think of if today you have to meet the queen, not that I really care about, but just for example, you are asked to meet the queen, and you will be more excited, isn't it? You'll be be planning. You won't be late for it, isn't it? Not like going to worship, right? Worship, you'll be late, but you won't be late going to meet the queen. You'll all clean up. You'll all be prepared. You'll be meeting someone important. But today, we don't seem to have that kind of reverence when we meet God, don't we? We see God as just another lovely person. The church doesn't talk about the fear of the Lord that much, isn't it? The fear, we fear God not because he's scary, like a spider. We fear God because he's so powerful. He's the creator. He's the king of all kings. We fear God because he is holy. Who will not fear you, Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. We very often think that fear the Lord comes from Proverbs only, from the Old Testament. That's not true. The New Testament talks about the fear of the Lord frequently. It's just that we never preach or study about it. We fear the Lord because the Lord is holy, and we are so unholy. We are unclean. It's like Isaiah, when we face God, they say that, I'm a man in unclean lips. About 30 years ago, Billy Graham came to Vancouver, and I was studying, that was in the early 80s, I forgot the exact year, early 80s, and I was studying at Regent College. So Billy Graham was still pretty young, was 30 years, well, he's with the Lord now, but 30 years ago, that's more like 35 years ago. So Billy Graham was still quite young at that time, but not old. So he said he would come to Regent College to meet the students. He said that when we travel and speak, he always want to encourage the seminary students. So as usual, that day I sat in the first row. I always sat in the first row because I cannot drop the notes very clearly when I sit at the back. So I sat in the first row, and then we were all waiting for Billy Graham. The whole hall was packed. And then Dr. Billy Graham came in, and then he stood right in the middle. It's about a foot in front of me. And so he started talking and encouraging. And he came in, I just have this sense, almost like the Apostle Paul standing in front of me, or Moses. I just sense this holiness. I mean, he's still a man. It's not Jesus. But I sense that this is a spiritual giant standing there, and it's very informal, very down to earth, and it's encouraging us to study more. And is this that feeling that no, whenever I visit our pastor, Dr. King, our Pastor King, every time I went to visit him in the old folks home, I just felt this talking to a spiritual giant, spiritual model. But there's no comparison between a spiritual man and God himself. God is so holy. And do we ever have that feeling when we meet God in the worship, in our prayers, that we are so unworthy to even to pray to God? We need to have this fear of God because he's so holy, because he's so majestic. We fear God because he is the judge. If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself in fear during the time of your stay on earth. This is from the New Testament again. Not just the proverb talk about the fear of the Lord or the Old Testament. The New Testament does as well. We fear God because one day he will be our judge. Even today, the Holy Spirit may be speaking to you when you do things wrong. But very often we only talk about the love of Jesus. We very seldom talk about his judgment and his quote-unquote fearful sign of God. If today, if we can spend more time to think of God, not only as a our Savior, but he's also the King, then many of the things we probably would not say, would not do. We probably, when we look at tithing, we probably have a different perspective. Just imagine yourself, you know, if you're driving on the road, suddenly you notice that everybody slowed down to 30 kilometers per hour. You know what happened? Probably there's a police driving along. And you know, sometimes when you stop at the red light, I don't know about you, but at least for me, if I stop at the red light and the police car pulled by next to you, what will you do? You probably try to behave like a good citizen, isn't it? I don't know about you, I try to behave really well. You know? Maybe even turn on some classical music. I'm sure you turn down your rock and roll. You dare not to touch your cell phone. You probably just make sure that he doesn't see your cell phone. And you try to smile and do not look like a criminal, right? And the light turned green. I'm sure you're not going to press the gas pedal and charge out. You're going to go very slowly, you know, make sure that you are behind the police car, isn't it? Right? I don't know about you, I would do that. I don't know how many of you will actually press the gas pedal and try to, let's have a race with the police car. I'm sure you won't do that. But very often, we forgot God is also our judge. He's our King. So we have to fear him. We fear him because he's so majestic. And I try to find some illustration, and it is not easy. And I think of climbing up to Chief Mountain. How many of you have climbed the Mount Chief? It's more interesting than Gross Mountain, I think. And if you climb all the way to the top, you'll be rewarded with a fantastic view of Squamish. It is kind of quite scary, I would say. If you stand to the top, it's nothing there. And if you try to sit at the edge there, I'm not recommending you to do that, right? But if you want to sit there, you actually will have lots of butterflies in your stomach. Your leg actually tremble. My leg trembles when but you know that it's safe as long as you don't do things like this or try to jump over. If just stand there, I would normally try to stand at the center of it. Actually, I won't even stand. I will sit. I used to just sit down there and put my hands. I sit like that and make sure I don't slide down there. I will not even stand there. I'm not scared of height, but I will not even stand there. Definitely, I won't try to jump or go to the edge and just see how far I can. I will just sit down and put my hands like that or even lie down. Then I know I'm safe. But even I know I'm safe, I would say that I do have butterflies in my stomach. I do have this trembling. And I think meeting God is like that. We tremble, but okay, we're safe. He's not going to hurt us. But don't lose that trembling when we meet God. The world has lost this fear of the Lord, fear of God. Tulsa, a very famous Alliance pastor, actually. When men no longer fear God, they transgress his laws without hesitation. The fear of consequences is no deterrent when the fear of God is gone. The world do not fear our God. They do not fear God. And the law, and we can see that the laws cannot keep people to be obedient citizens. We can think of many, many cases, instance, isn't it? When men do not fear God, the law has no binding on them. When people do not fear God, they will say that there's no God. There's probably no God. Now stop worrying and enjoy your life. But unfortunately, even the church sometimes we don't teach enough about the fear of the Lord. We talk about tolerance. We preach on love alone, but very seldom on God's judgment, the reverence of God. We very seldom talk about the fear of God. Because talking about the fear and judgment of God is not cool. Tolerance is important. We don't talk about hell. We talk about heaven. If you believe Jesus, you go to heaven. But if you don't believe Jesus, you don't go to heaven. But we don't tell about the other place. We talk about John 3:16, for God so loved the world. But we very seldom talk about few verses down, John 3:36. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. We dare not to talk about the wrath of God, but that's not cool. In the New Testament, there's at least close to 50 times talking about the fear of the Lord. Without the fear of the Lord, even the church will go astray. Without the fear of the Lord, even Christians could not walk in the path of the Lord. And feeling of the God will help us to walk in the path. As we just read, the verse 1, fear the Lord. How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. The fear will keep us on the right course. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his whole, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. To end, I want to talk about this story. Not story, it's a C.S. Lewis movie. In the movie, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, I'm sure most of you have seen this movie. You all know that there's a lion which represents Christ. The lion is called Aslan. And then the children, was the first time the children were introduced to this lion, Aslan. So Lucy asks, is he a man? So Mr. Beaver said, Aslan a man? Certainly not. I tell you, he's the king of the wood and the son of the great emperor beyond the sea. Don't you know Aslan is a lion? The lion, the great lion. And then Susan said, one of the children, "Oh, I thought he was a man. Is Ashland safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion." "Well, my dear," Mrs. Beaver said, "if there's anyone who can appear before Ashland without their knees knocking, they're either very brave or they're silly." Then Lucy said, "Then he isn't safe." Mr. Beaver said, "Safe? Don't you hear what Mrs. Beaver tells you? Of course he isn't safe, but he is good. He is the king, I tell you. Our God is love. We don't have to worry about him, but we have to fear of him because he's also our judge, because of his holiness, because he's so majestic, because he will not tolerate sin. I love him because he's my savior, and I fear him because he's my judge." So today, let's remind ourselves, as a church, we need only not to talk about the love of God, but also he's the judge, he's the king, he's the holy one. Only when we have a balance. Today, we have lost this balance, the church. So we need to regain this balance as a church, as an individual, so that we can walk in the path of the Lord and be a blessed person. But we bless those people who love him and fear him, honor him, respect him. Then our family will be a blessed family. And our children, our city, our country will be blessed.